This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. It's already almost mid-September. This is the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang. And joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, and mogul, Derek Miner.
What's happening?
And once again, joining us, sitting in for Jamie Ivey, we have counselor, author, podcaster, and friend of the show, Kristen Howerton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Good to have you back. We have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to Hillsong Young and Free. They just released their fourth album. It's called All of My Best Friends. It's based on this podcast. It's not based on this podcast, but these are all of my best friends. Also, after this opening segment, we have a pretty big announcement that we want to make.
Wow.
I'm going to bring our senior editor, Tyler Huckabee, onto the show. He's going to tell us a little news here in the Relevant world. And we're very excited for you to hear it. So that's coming up next. And of course, coming up later, we also have slices and your feedback. The feedback segment is great. You guys sent us in a bunch of awkward and funny audio clips, so you don't want to miss that. So front to back, this is a good one. But up first, if you heard Friday's episode where Kristen joined us, you know that we got to know her a little bit with a few table topic questions at the beginning of the show. I'm doing it again. So, Kristen, if you're ready, here we go. I got a few randomly selected questions for you.
Okay.
In your opinion, What is the worst movie of all time?
Oh, that's a tough one. Oh, gosh. There's so many.
Yeah, you gotta think there's a lot of like direct-to-DVD ones that...
And it's tough because some cross the line of it's so bad it becomes good. Like if you're talking like The Room or something, you know?
Yeah. I have some of those so bad it's good movies.
Okay, how about the one you hate? You just hate this movie. Like everything, it may be a good horror movie, but you just hated it. It was a bad experience for you or something.
Okay, I'm going to share one that I just watched and I didn't get through it. But it, you know, when you're on Netflix and it keeps telling you to watch the same movie over and over again.
Yeah. You're like, fine. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, fine. I'll do this because I have nothing to do with my time but watch Netflix. So it's called Drunk Parents. It's with Alec Baldwin and Salma Hayek, and it is terrible. It's so bad.
It's a straight to DVD one.
It
just
was
in
a
the Netflix
to DVD,
era,
yeah. Which is what I said. I'm like, I don't feel like I should watch a movie I've never heard of. Like, if no one's mentioned it on Twitter, And it's pretty recent, like something's wrong.
It's a red flag.
But, you know, I'm like, well, it's a comedy. Alec Baldwin can be funny. It's terrible. It's really, really bad.
We didn't get through it. My wife and I were doing the same thing, scanning Netflix, and we saw, like, again, the algorithm told us, and it's like, oh, Jim Gaffigan's in it too. Like, oh, we'll give it a shot.
Yes.
And we're like, let's just watch the trailer. We didn't even make it 30 seconds into the trailer. We're like, this is bad. This is really bad.
Well, I think that's where my mistake started, was not watching the trailer.
Yeah. Did you make it through the whole thing?
No. I think like 30 minutes and I was like, I'm out. I can't do this. It's so bad.
Yeah, tapping out in the first act. Yeah.
Derek, what's your least favorite movie?
Oh my gosh. I don't know, man. I usually just block trash movies out of my mind. I'm like, I have wasted my time. I'm never going to watch. Like, I hate that I wasted my time. I don't even want to remember this. I can't even think of a movie that I'm like, yo, this is awful. Like, because I just rather just focus on the good things in life instead of the bad things.
I don't know if it's the worst movie, but the one that was most baffling to me was Taken 2, like the Liam Neeson movie, you know, like, because it's literally just Taken 1 with just different characters. Like, the plot is exactly the same.
They didn't even
say, hey, this time it's someone else who's getting kidnapped. It's like the same daughters again. Like,
how many times can one person be kidnapped?
We just went through this last summer.
Now, that's another thing, too. I don't watch movies that, like, if I feel like it's going to be trash, I don't jump in. Like, so Taken 2, I was like, nope, I get it. Like, I'm not going to jump in that. But actually, you know what, Jesse, I forgot one. And you probably might appreciate this. The Green Lantern was a terrible movie.
The Ryan Reynolds one.
Yes, that movie was awful.
Yeah. And even he acknowledges that now. Even Ryan Reynolds
in Deadpool. Yeah. He does. Yeah, he cracked a joke on that in one of the Deadpool movies. So
wow.
Yeah, so that might be the only one that I can. But I try to dodge movies that I'm like, no, this is gonna be a waste of my time. Like I'm good. That's smart. Yeah.
All right, Kristen. If you could only eat three foods for the rest of your life, what would they be? Three foods.
Okay. Are these like meals? Like, can I pick like a
Kristen Howerton, if you could only eat three foods for the rest of your life, what would they be? This is a table topic. I don't think it's that difficult.
No, but it could be a food of multiple ingredients is what you're saying.
Like, tacos. That was my clarifying question. Yeah. Okay. Is it multiple ingredients? Okay. Yeah. I would choose, this is very specific and I know the answer. California Pizza Kitchen, barbecue chicken salad. Delicious. It's very refreshing.
Is that one of those places like Cheesecake Factory where you're like, I'm going to get the salad, but then when you read later, it was like 2,800 calories.
So oh,
it's
for like, sure. I mean, okay. You might as well eat a piece of pizza. Okay. Yeah, it's gotcha. Just covered in ranch and fat.
Yeah.
Also from California Pizza Kitchen. Is this a national chain or am I just saying things that no one's ever heard of?
No, yeah.
No, it's national. That's yeah, everywhere, national. Right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm in California, so I'm not really sure. Also from them, the Thai chicken pizza. Delicious. Mm, really good. It has a peanut sauce. It's delicious. My third food, gosh, that's a hard one. I'm going to say Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets.
That's definitely on top of my list.
I'm going to give a faith-based answer. Chick-fil-A.
Kristen, over under four, I'm talking times of the month that you find yourself at CPK.
Well, not that often because it's kind of far from my house. And by kind of far, I mean it's like 15 minutes away, which in Southern California speak might as well be in another state because of traffic. So in Southern California, you have like a 5-mile radius that you're willing to drive to.
Yeah.
And after that, it's a road trip. So I'm not road tripping to the California Pizza Kitchen that's 15 minutes from my house all that often these days.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. What two items would you grab if your house was on fire? What two items
would you grab if your house was on laptop. Fire? My laptop. My laptop.
What about your children?
Oh.
Which them. Two children would you grab if your house was on fire?
Yo!
It depends on the day.
Wild.
Leaving the kids, got the laptop. Wild. I'm good.
Right now I have a kid on my naughty list. So, but yeah, anyway. Okay, if we're counting children,
no, we're not counting children. No. I was kidding.
Okay, I would take my laptop.
Okay.
And then I would try to probably do a mad scramble for some scrapbooks. You know, like I would want the memorabilia. You can replace everything else. I would want the memory stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Derek, what would you do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm grabbing old photos and I probably would grab old photos and underwear.
I can't think like, I don't think I have any photos here. They're all digital.
For
like,
real?
Yeah. I can't think.
I got a bunch of stuff from like way, way, way back, like old like photo books that I definitely will have with like, you know, grandparents, dad, all that stuff in there. You know what I'm saying?
All that stuff's at my parents' house.
Oh, like, okay. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I got all that. And then, yeah, probably underwear or maybe some music equipment. Actually, no, I take it back.
Underwear. Your house is on fire. Derek runs in there bravely. He's running out with an armful of underwear and nothing drugs. Else.
But Derek, you can replace that at Target. That for is like true. $20. That is true.
That is true. I probably would grab my dad's guitars. I forgot
there
about
you go.
That.
Yeah, I would
grab my dad's guitars.
All right, Jesse, what about you?
Yeah, mine are not very exciting because outside of my laptop, I would just be like, I don't really care. I mean, I can't think of anything that I have that's one, all that valuable, and two, is all that sentimental. Maybe that just says a lot about me as a person that I don't really have things that, like, whenever I watch, you know, remember when everyone was going on the Marie Kondo kick and you're supposed to like look at something until you brought it joy? I'm very indifferent about things. Like, I don't want to talk to this, old pair of jeans. I feel like I can just get rid of it. Like, no sweat, not really causing me any joy, causing me indifference. Like, everything is pretty, other than the laptop, just because it'd be like, man, it'd be a bummer to have to do all that work over again. Like, and that's more for just selfish reasons. I can't really think of anything else. I mean, I don't know. Like, I've thought about this too, guys. I feel like as humanity, as we're in humanity, where we're outside of the golden era of like burglaries and like cat burglars. Like if I were like when I was a kid, maybe it's just because I watched Home Alone a lot, I thought like there was a legit like threat all the time of cat burglars pulling off like a home invasion and making away with all of our things while we slept. Like as a kid, I thought this is just something that people need to worry about.
That's the neighborhood you're living in, because I think home break-ins is a real thing in a lot of parts of a lot of cities.
But I'm just saying, if I were to break into a home, just hypothetically, if I'm the cat burglar, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what to take that's worth anything. Like, well, I have to dismount the flat screen TV. Like, that's a lot of work. Remember your toolkit? Like, if you just said, hey, there's an empty house right there. The homeowners aren't home. You have 1 hour to pillage, right? And just make, I wouldn't even know where to start. Like, I don't know. This IKEA lamp, I might be able to turn that. Like, if I'm just in somebody's home and you're asking me to just burglar it,
right,
and with the goal of like people don't have fine china anymore. Like the stuff you see cat burglars take in the movies, the fine china,
the jewelry,
electronics. Do people would have that stuff anymore? Because a flat screen, it's way cheaper. I can buy a flat screen right now for like $200. I don't know what I would take if I burglarized the home. That's all I'm saying. I think we're outside. I think we're outside the window of you can become a successful cat burglar anymore. I just don't feel like it's possible in the average home.
I think
you're
right. I think it was like our parents' generation. Like we got robbed when I was a kid and my dad had gold bullions. I don't even know what those are.
Wow.
In our house. And like coin collections. So they got away with like thousands of dollars. And just like you, I'm like looking around my house like, what? I have nothing worth more than $500. Like nothing.
Well, I mean, think about it now. Everything is cards. Everything is, we all have banks. But back in the 50s and 60s, like it was a big deal that, you know, you had to go to the bank and fill out paperwork to get money. So you kept a lot more at your house.
Right.
Yeah,
you
know,
right.
So
like now it's like, who has cash?
My parents had a safe growing up. In their closet, they had a safe, right? If I had a safe right now, it's like, what am I possibly going to put in there? Like, what do I feel like constitutes, its value constitutes living in a giant safe in my closet? Like, I just don't know. All I'm saying, that is a privileged thing to say, that I don't constantly worry about home invasion like I did when I was a child and watched Home Alone. But I also put myself in the position of the cat burglar is, I have no idea what to steal. That isn't a tremendous amount of work to get out of that house.
All right. We got to move so along here. One last question. Do you, Kristen Howerton, think, or do you have any habits that you think are unusual or quirky?
That's a good question. This isn't a habit, but this is a collection that's weird and I don't really collect things, but I do have a very large and very nerdy collection of playbills of plays I've seen over the last 20 years.
Okay.
And it's extensive.
Do you ever like just open up the box and just like sift through them and reminisce, or you just have them?
I just have them.
You're a hoarder is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, no, I will say this. My daughter, who is also now a theater nerd, I've converted her, actually took a bunch of them and has a whole wall of them framed in her room.
Okay, that's cool.
So that's the nerd level that we're at over here with musical theater.
Well, I feel like we know you at a whole other level now. Thank you for indulging our table topics questions. Stay tuned. Up next, we have some news. You don't want to miss it. Teach me, baby, teach us. So preach it, baby, preach. So loving, do the so loving. You gotta say nothing too specific. You're listening to Saint Motel. The song is Preach. It's not Christian at all, but the title was Preach, so that's why I chose it. Yeah, it's a good song. Okay, I alluded to some news, and we have some news. So for this news, I am going to welcome to the Tuesday episode, senior editor of Relevant, Tyler Huckabee. Hey, man.
Hey, Cameron.
Okay, so I have kicked the rest of the cast to the curb for this brief announcement that we're going to give them. Listeners, the cast comes back in a couple minutes.
Their lawyers said they could not be involved.
So here's the big news, everybody. As you know, if you're a subscriber to Relevant Magazine, last fall, the print magazine went on hiatus. We just felt that the market was shifting, business was shifting. There was too many challenges. It was time for us to step back and look at not the last 20 years, but the next 20 years. And really thought, the team really thought, hey, if we were launching this thing from scratch in 2020, knowing what we know, what would we do differently or what would we do? And so it's been 9 months, 10 months, 12 months of that process for us. And we have been working on a lot of things behind the scenes. So you might have noticed that last week we soft launched an all new relevantmagazine.com. We haven't made a big deal about that because we're going to be continuing to add features over the coming days and couple of weeks. But next week, and you know, there's a lot of new stuff happening, okay, over there. This fall, we have some new podcasts and some new video content that will be debuting. You're about to hear about all of that. And then the big news is that we're bringing back Relevant Magazine. So the big thing for us is there's a difference in content. And when we publish every day, quick stuff, it's following the news cycle. Yes, we have features and other things that we need to talk about at the intersection of faith and culture and a life well lived. But there's something about that long form content, that journalism, the think pieces, the interviews that go deep that daily web content just couldn't give us. And so for the last 6 months, we've been working on what would a new version of magazine content look like. So today, literally today, we are debuting the new era of Relevant Magazine. What that entails is a digital issue every other month. The September issue debuts today, and then we'll have November, January, on and on, every other month, just like we used to. There'll be long-form features, A-list celebrities, think pieces that you've come to know from us, all the content that you've loved, beautiful imagery, a great reading experience, and it's all in the magazine section at relevantmagazine.com. But what makes it a magazine and not just a web article? For us, we still love print, and we love having something on your coffee table that's tangible, you know? So what we are going to be doing is releasing 6 digital issues a year, and then once a year doing an annual, the best of those 6 issues in print, and we will do an annual edition of Relevant Magazine for your coffee tables. It'll be big and thick and beautiful, and that will be debuting in 2021. But the first digital issue of Relevant is up today, Tuesday, the day after Labor Day. We're very excited. And so I brought Tyler on to tell you about this comeback issue. So tell us some of the highlights of the content.
Yeah, we've got, well, it's been such a journey. And I think that being able to reimagine what a digital magazine can look like for this era has been just the pure creation of it. And also something that's always been important to us is selecting the people that we want to represent the brand, the people that we put on the cover, that we want not just to have something important to say, although that is important, not just to be representative of the era we're in, although that's also important, but also for this issue, trying to represent sort of what are we going to be about in this new era. And and for us, I'm really excited to announce, because there really is nobody else that we would rather have on our digital cover than the good people over at Maverick City Music, a worship collective that for us at Relevant over the past few months has been not just exciting, but challenging, encouraging, and comforting. And to my ear, sounds like sort of a leap forward in the evolution of music worship, of corporate worship. And after we talked to them a little bit and got to know their hearts, their mission, their purpose, and their courage, we knew that they were the right people to put on the cover and to make our focus, the primary main focus of this new issue. So a conversation with a few of those people that I think people are going to be encouraged by, hopefully challenged by. I was challenged by it, by my conversations with them. And I think it's something that I can't wait to share with everybody. So that's the, it's a cover, it's a digital cover, but yeah. What would you call it, the centerpiece of the issue, I suppose.
Yeah, no, it's a cover story. I mean, the way it's designed and marketed, it's our cover story. And, you know, we kind of need to have that linchpin, that kind of focal point for every issue. Mav City is charting a new course in worship. I mean, if you've seen their videos, if you've heard their music at all, you know it's very difficult to describe. And that's why we felt, one of the reasons why we felt that they were a great candidate for our first cover. It really does represent a lot of what we're about. I mean, they're genre bending, they're groundbreaking, they're new. And that's very telling. You know, in the culture space, we also have A-list guests. You know, we have the AVET Brothers has a new album. We talked to the AVET Brothers. We're huge fans of them.
And I love getting to talk to them a little bit. I talked to Scott AVET about this, and I've actually never had the opportunity. We've covered them a few times. I've personally never been able to talk to the AVET Brothers before. Loved that conversation. Was not expecting him to start talking about Richard Rohr and the Enneagram. Didn't know that was going to be on the, didn't go into the conversation expecting that, but was more than happy to pivot there with him. So I'm looking forward to everybody seeing that and hearing more about their hearts. White Oak, great indie band that I've loved for a long time. Was really glad that we were able to finally make that one, get that one to work out. They do such interesting music and are such interesting people. Love getting to talk a little bit about them and some of the project they've been working on in lockdown. Also, the great Jen Hatmaker is going to be in there as well. She's somebody who's been able to manage to stay on the forefront, even as the cultures has sort of shifted. Things have changed. Obviously, the landscape she works in has gone through some seismic shifts, and it hasn't thrown her off her game for one. If anything, it sort of seems like she's taken that as a challenge to continue to stay at the forefront of really important, challenging conversations happening in her sphere. It's been cool and very inspiring. Inspiring to see, excited to share a little more about that.
We also have Jordan Lee Dooley in the issue, who's an incredibly popular author. And we also have a lot of the think pieces that you've known from us. We tackle anxiety, you know, especially in this time and season we're in. We have Derwin Gray, who's talking about just read the Derwin Gray piece. It's awesome. The conversation in light of the season that we're in is incredibly profound.
I am proud of working on, I spent a lot of time working on a piece on Christian nationalism that is in the issue here. It's an extremely challenging subject with a lot of ins and outs, a little nervous about how it's going to go over, but I definitely stand by the things that are in the piece and some
Tyler,
of the investigation.
We stand by you, man. We stand
by
you.
Okay, well, we'll see what it, you say that now.
This is a troubling trend. You're talking about Christian nationalism. It's really this weird relationship between faith and Christianity and Christian leaders and this, you know, kind of like country first kind of mindset, which is the antithesis to so much of the gospel. And so we wrestle with that. And like, it is something that this generation needs to be talking about because it's incredibly problematic, and it just seems to be okay with everybody, and it's not okay, right?
So I hope you read that. I was not prepared when I started working on that piece for just what I would find as I started digging into it a little more and doing a little more reporting on it. So we'll see how that one goes. And then there's going to be lots of we've got Chad Veach is in the air, our friend Chad. We have a conversation with him about what it means to about what it means to be a people person. Something that Chad is sort of an expert in, but he thinks that everybody else should be an expert in as well, because it's something that God is an expert in, according to him. But I won't say any more than that.
We've got your faith content. We've got your think pieces. We've got your culture. We've got your life content. It's all the stuff that you've known from Relevant. We just took a little bit of a break. And now, you know, the new design, the new interface, the new way to engage this content is so much more, I don't know, a little more efficient than mailing paper to people's houses. So,
mailing what now?
So anyway, check it out. The debut issue of Relevant Magazine, September issue 102, 102 issues, man, is available now at relevantmagazine.com. And guess what? Totally free. I'm not saying it's going to always be totally free, but to celebrate the relaunch, totally free. So there you go. Check it out. RelevantMagazine.com. Dude, thanks, Tyler. Thanks for all your hard work on this issue. Yeah. Excited for everybody to see it. Check it out. RelevantMagazine.com. All right. Stay tuned. Up next, Slices. Just keep my hand in your pocket. You're listening to Jim E. Stack featuring Dijon. The song is Sweet Summer Sweat. This summer, man, we've all had some sweet summer sweat. It's been been a hot one. Did you see last year, 2019, was the hottest, talking about global warming, was the hottest summer in recorded history. And this year, 2020, obviously summer's not over yet, but it is right there neck and neck and probably will pass 2019 as the hottest summer in recorded history.
Sheesh.
Oh,
I wish
it's
there was some.
It's a hoax. It's a hoax. Yeah. Don't believe it.
I wish
Don't
there was
believe
some,
it.
I wish there was some explanation for this phenomenon.
It's a hoax.
Science could explain it to us.
It's a hoax.
Jesus ain't real. Oh, wait, no, that was the last episode. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, we don't have air conditioning in my house, which is actually fairly common. I know that sounds crazy if you're coming from Florida, as I grew up. But in Southern California, a lot of people don't have AC because it's pretty mild. We're close to the beach. But a couple weeks of the year, it gets so hot that you're like sweating through your clothes inside the house. And I just become really mean to everyone.
Yeah, that's a misery. Our AC broke earlier this summer. And it is like, there was times where it's like, I just want to go sit out in the car and I'm just going to turn the AC on and just sit in the car for a while. You know?
And what we usually do is during these hot weeks, you just go places that have air conditioning. Like, let's go to a movie. Let's go out to eat. But like everything's closed. So we're just sitting in our house in a pandemic. Really hot. Sucks.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Fun. I'm in Florida and I think about how did people live here before they invented air conditioning?
It's bad.
Because back then, they also didn't know how to control the mosquito population. So you have your windows open. Man. You'd have humidity, mosquitoes, and stagnant hot air. Who would live here? I don't get it. Anyway, fine now, but yeah. Before we move on, I want to tell you that today's show is brought to you by Convoy of Hope. Over the last several months, life has changed for everyone. Businesses have shut their doors. Millions of people have lost their jobs, and no one really knows when life will return to normal. But often in the midst of despair, hope flourishes. And while the situation may look bleak, hope is being delivered across the nation. Convoy of Hope is doing everything it can to help people during the pandemic. Their team embarked on a mission to provide 10 million meals to people in desperate need. But to date, because of your help, they've delivered more than 100 million meals to those hit hardest by the pandemic. If you'd like to support their ongoing mission to deliver help to those who need it most, visit convoyofhope.org/relevant. Now, not only are they doing that, but they also, a major thing that Convoy does, and I'm just telling you this off the cuff, is disaster relief. And with the recent hurricanes in Louisiana, Convoy of Hope was there. And we've been talking about it on our website. But if you want to give to the relief efforts to those affected by the hurricanes as well, go to convoyofhope.org/relevant. So whether you want to give to the 100 million meals initiative or disaster relief, Convoy is a leader in both spaces. That's convoyofhope.org/relevant. Do it. They're an amazing organization. Okay, it's time for
Slices.
What do you have, Jesse?
All right. I had a couple of people send me this story and they were questioning my involvement in it. I have an alibi. I haven't been traveling due to, I'm trying to respect the quarantine. So I wasn't there, but someone in California, Kristen, you might want to be on the lookout. This happened right near LAX. I was in a lot of trouble because a plane was getting ready to land, and then this pilot looked out their window and they saw an individual in a jetpack flying around just outside the window of the plane.
Yep.
Okay. They're just jetpacking. Now, apparently, they caused a big thing. Apparently, flying in the flight path of a commercial airliner is not something the FAA frowns upon that these days. And so they started doing some hunting around, and they called a company that makes jetpacks. Another big thing that I learned in this story, there aren't a lot of companies that are actually making jetpacks right now. The jetpack market evidently pretty soft right now. But so they call up the company and they're like, hey, listen, there's a pilot saw some person in a jetpack. What's your inventory like? Can we trace these things? They're like, all of our jetpacks are spoken for, you know? Again, jetpack business, not a really hot one right now. Not a lot of people are splurging for the jetpack in these tight times. So they couldn't find out where the jetpack originated from. And so they're very curious because, the implication is maybe this is, some sort of homemade jetpack. Now, I was doing a deep dive, going down the rabbit hole, and I found this line in one of the stories that's reporting on this incident. And I want to read it to you guys briefly and tell you why this is the most exciting part of this story. The Federal Aviation Administration doesn't issue license specifically for operating these devices. A jetpack could be operated as an ultralight vehicle, meaning it would not be registered with the FAA and its operator wouldn't need a pilot's license. That is, if its weight, fuel capacity, and speed requirements were met. They buried the lead here, okay?
Yeah.
Jetpacks are fair game, all right? There is no rule. I can go jetpacking around right now, and I'm quite literally above the law. Like, I don't know if you guys, we're recording this on Wednesday morning. Guys, I almost canceled recording because David Blaine did a really cool stunt on YouTube Live this morning where he flew. It wasn't actually that cool, but it was still something to watch during COVID. It was better than...
Wait, we were texting you this morning. You're like, sorry, guys, I'm in a meeting. Were you watching the David Blaine video?
I was in a meeting, but I had the David Blaine video playing in the corner. I got up early to watch it because I didn't know for certain when they were going to take off. It's very complicated. David Blaine floated in the air for about 20 minutes. He got to like 18,000 feet with balloons. He held onto a bunch of balloons and he floated and then parachuted off. Like, there was no magic involved. It was just like, hey, everyone's bored. We're all in quarantine still. Why don't we watch a guy fly around on balloons? And here's the thing. I listened to like a podcast interview with him weeks ago leading up to this. All right. Because I was very interested. And evidently, he had to go through all this, all kind of rigmarole with the FAA and, the law enforcement and safe public safety officials. You're telling me he needs to go through all that to fly in the air on a bunch of balloons to entertain the American public? But jetpacking is totally is the fine. Wild West.
Yeah.
How many balloons? I just want to point out that Jesse used air quotes when he said public safety.
Kristen, how much damage could a jetpacker possibly do? Like,
I mean, to anybody but himself. Well, okay, Jesse. Well, I mean,
he could run into a plane.
Yeah. Geese run into a plane.
You guys are acting as if that literally just almost happened this week. I'm just saying, for the most part, how many times have you been afraid of jetpackers?
Did you see this week in other flying news that Amazon and other companies, several other companies, all got approval for the drone delivery from the FAA? So, like, it was announced a long time ago. They got it approved. So it's going to be happening. We're like, little drones are going to be dropping off Amazon packages at your front door and flying off. We're
living in the Jetsons right now.
Yeah, right. It's awesome. And people who've listened to this podcast know this, but I am fundamentally against the FAA. I don't think airspace should be regulated. I think that if you're above the ground, you are your own jurisdiction, and let everyone flying around, zipping around, figure it out.
Kristen, Jesse is a hard libertarian.
Jesse, this is
fine.
A weird take.
He's
this is
fine
a really
with the laws
take.
Of the land. He feels like he understands there's laws of the land, but he feels like if you jump up or you are off the land, laws don't apply to you.
Technically,
no, we're just going to have like crashes in the air.
We have to have law and order in the air. In the
Jesse,
air.
If you look at the Jetsons up in the air, they're driving in rows in their little flying vehicles.
Technically, a jump kick cannot be an assault. It happened in the air, and that's unregulated.
Get me out of here.
Listen, I don't want to go all lawyer on you guys.
Jesse, at one point in time, I thought that you could be president, and I see now that that is not true.
Hey, he'd still be a better president. Sorry.
Oh, my
God. He would. I still think he would, but I think this is a terrible idea to go lawless in the sky.
Hey, I'm never flying. If Jesse becomes president, I'm never flying.
That's what made me so excited. It's like, you know what? If you're telling me I'm unregulated on my jetpack and I don't got to do, you know, go all through this paperwork, you know, for to let the government know of my zipping around, then that makes it way more appealing.
Jetpacks are going to be super dangerous pretty soon because the skies are going to be littered with these like little flying packages and you're going to be like bobbing and weaving all around them.
Jesse, tell the truth. Have you Googled DIY jetpacks?
Oh, of course he has.
Have you looked for like a recipe online?
No question.
Yeah. And if it, like, there's only one thing, there's only one natural inclination I have above my desire to flaunt the freedom that the air gives. And that is laziness and very, very poor engineering and math skills. So,
so it's your bad math skills that are saving us from the reason your danger why, in the air.
Exactly. The reason why Tony Stark could do it wasn't just because he was rich. It was because he was driven and very smart.
Yeah. I remember I was telling somebody this, like, before I moved my old house, I shouldn't say, I don't know if this is giving me trouble or not. I hopefully no home inspectors are listening, but our fire marshals. But before we moved out of one of our old houses, I had to switch out an outlet in like a bathroom, you know, to get a GFCI. I know nothing about any of this. But I was like, I got it. I'm not going to pay for this. You know, it's an outlet. How hard could it be? I did the whole thing. I there was more wires than I thought were going to be back there. And I just kind of made my best guesses, screwed the little plate back on. Anyway, a day later, my wife was blow drying her hair. And she's like, Jesse, you should come here. The wall's hot. I was like, all right, okay. Like, the drywall was actually hot to the touch. I was like, you know what? Maybe shut that down. And we'll let the home inspector deal with this one. You know, I just don't have those type of skills. So for now, until if someone gifts me a jetpack, then I'll take it. But otherwise, you guys aren't in danger of me inventing my own. Yeah.
All right. What do you have, Derek?
So I got an old Jesse twofer this time. And they're real quick. So the first one is OU and Missouri are playing their first game pretty soon. And if you want to watch it, it's going to be on pay-per-view. So
what?
Yeah.
Pay-per-view?
Yes. They're like, yo, we're doing pay-per-view for Oklahoma and the Missouri game. Because I'm assuming because there's no people going to be in the stands. So they got to make money some way, right?
Audience, right?
Yeah. So I'm assuming that's that. So this is an interesting trend to watch because if this could really be frustrating if this sticks after the pandemic.
I heard this morning here locally, UCF football is doing 25% capacity at the stadium. They announced it this morning. Mm-hmm. So they'll do social distancing, but they will have 25%. But with that amount of ticket revenue lost, I think the football program will lose $14 million in gate receipts. That's what they said, $14 million. And they have to spend $2 million more in like safety measures for the athletes and stuff. Yeah. So there's a net $16 million. But like, I don't know, big universities with a lot of, you know, hundreds of millions of dollar athletic budget, seems like you could absorb that for one season. You don't need to go pay-per-view. That's weird.
Yeah, I think it's going to work, honestly.
Really?
People love their football. I think it's going to work.
People will pay.
Yeah, I think it's going to work. Yeah. I just hope it doesn't stick. That's my thing. I just hope it doesn't stick because if it sticks, then that's going to change things crazy.
Well, the good thing is the ESPN has contracts with the ACC, SEC. I mean, so they got the SEC network, ACC network. I mean, ESPN's not going that direction. They've got their advertising revenue they've got to protect. So. Thankfully. But I guess the Big 12 and a lot of the schools, either Pac-12 also announced they aren't even playing. So maybe some schools are going to play and they'll just do like one-off dates instead of playing the normal conference schedule or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting thing to watch.
How are they going to name a national champion if like they're half not, the conferences aren't playing? They're not.
They're not. They said, they said they're not going to do any games this year, bowl games.
So the best you could do is win your conference if your conference is playing.
Yeah, I think that's it. As of now, I think that's it where it's at right now. So the second one I got is extremely funny to me. Dancing with the Stars is on its way back, and we got Nelly that's going to be on it.
What?
Which is going to be dope. And you got my guy from Catfish, Nev. He's going to be on it. But here's what takes the cake. Carol Baskin is going to be on it.
Really?
Yes, so weird.
Yes. Carol Baskin is going to be on it. I got to watch. I've never watched Dancing with the Stars ever. I'm watching it now. You know what, though? I need to see what Carol does.
It's going to add another layer of drama that if she loses or doesn't like the points or the judging vote, the judging, she may murder somebody.
Oh. She might feed somebody to a tiger. You know? We don't know.
It is taking the Dancing with the Stars thing.
Todd Bergeron, he's just gone 1 week.
I don't know why.
Like,
I remember when it was just like, it was just your average C-lister. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I've been wondering what Herschel Walker's been up to. Oh, he's on Dance with
Charles
the Stars.
Charles Oakley's on it. I saw it because every basketball is New York Knicks legend, Charles Oakley. So that's who you're looking for. Is like
the guy who played Carlton on Fresh Prince. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool. Oh, Tony Danza. That's pretty cool. I haven't seen that guy in a while. You know, now it's like, oh, this is someone who was made famous for a docuseries that strongly implied she murdered her husband and fed him to live tigers. I feel a little weird, but you know, again, guilty until proven innocent. But it seems like an odd direction for Dancing with the Stars.
Watch that series again. It was like a lifetime ago
that came out 4 months ago.
No, they need, you know, they should have just leaned
life
into
was
it.
Different back then. You know,
listen, like they should have just leaned into. I would be much more inclined to watch an all Tiger King edition of Dancing with the Stars than I would just with Carol Baskin.
That would be amazing.
Jesse, that one dude had no legs. He lost his legs. That's mean, man.
He was great on his feet. Like I would watch that. I would watch that. Hey, Kristen, would you rather see like what they do now, which is like former athletes and old pop stars and sitcom personalities, or an all Tiger King?
Oh, all Tiger King, all the way.
I'm with it.
All right. What do you have, Kristen?
Well, I'm just going to bring the mood down right now. I want to talk about the fact that Kyle Rittenhouse, who is the teenager who imagined himself some kind of patriot protector. And, you know, he went to Kenosha, went to a Black Lives Matter protest, ended up shooting 3 people with a very large gun strapped to the front of his chest that he walked around with all evening. A Christian fundraising site has now raised over $300,000 for this individual.
There's no hate like Christian love. There's no hate like Christian love.
I need someone to explain this to me because
if right wing media is making him out to be a martyr,
I know.
Like he stood up when nobody else would.
But
we need to support him.
But how does that get conflated with Christianity? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, if there are groups that hold certain political ideologies that, you know, they're like, oh, we have to support, this radical on our side or whatever. Like, okay, like that's still very concerning. But how does it get conflated with faith? You know what I mean? Like,
unfortunately, we've been watching this happen for the last decade, that faith and nationalism have somehow become these partners, right? That we're watching a lot of Christians put their politics in front of their faith, and politics have been bastardized. You know, the Republican Party has been bastardized for the last several years. And so now all of a sudden it is. And I think what is so wild to me about all of this is, you know, Trump is preaching law and order, and yet this is a 17-year-old with a gun, which is illegal, right? So shouldn't this be something that is being I mean, the killing, obviously, aside, shouldn't even just his presence at this thing with a gun be denounced as illegal? Are we for law and order or not? Which, I mean, but I'm asking the that, thing, obviously, hypothetically, because yeah. I think we know that there's just a ton of hypocrisy.
Now let's juxtapose this with unarmed black guy
yeah.
getting shot. And it's like,
right.
Now let's look at his criminal record. And let's say if you would have just followed the law, you wouldn't have got shot. But then let's find this white kid who just killed two people and blew another guy's arm off. And we're making him into a saint. Well, we're not. But evangelical crowd, the conservative crowd, the faith-based crowd is like, oh, no, let's not. No, he's just a good boy that was just protecting himself, even though he was 17 with a freaking AR. Like,
drove in from another state.
But, you know, hey, you know, let's not. Where's the keep that same energy? Like, where this mm-hmm. the energy's different when it's a white kid, but when it's a black kid, it's like, oh, well, you know, he stole bubblegum back in the fifth grade. He deserved to die, you know.
Well, there was a really poignant side by side of news stories, you know, where when we have a black man who's shot, the immediate story is, you know, he had a record or mm-hmm. he was high at the time. And then, you know, the news stories of Kyle is like, here's a picture of him scrubbing a wall, like as if that makes any difference. Yeah. Like the kid came and shot people.
I saw somebody on Twitter say, if a 17-year-old armed with an AR roamed the hallways of a school and somebody, you know, the students are all hiding and somebody tried to stop him by throwing a bag at him. And then the person who threw the bag got shot. And then other students ran out and tried to tackle him to stop him. And one of those students got shot. The story would be very different.
That's exactly what
happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
In this situation, he went looking for trouble.
Mm-hmm. And he went looking for trouble. And by the time he was attacked by the guy with the skateboard, he'd already shot someone. So, you know, I just try to imagine I have been to many Black Lives protests. And I try to imagine myself in that situation, watching someone shoot someone. I think everyone in the crowd would be thinking, disarm this person, get this person down, right? Which is what they did. And then to hold this kid up as the hero, as opposed to the people trying to disarm him.
Right.
I will never forget what is happening right now. Like I will just never be able to get over the behavior of some Christians right now. And I'm a Christian, you know, but it just, I am so baffled and disappointed. I can't even see straight.
And the other element too, it's like, that's how, so hypothetically or not hypothetically, realistically, what literally has happened is Christians are giving money to this, you know, kid who shot and killed at least one person, you know, to for his like legal defense. That's the best way that they feel like they can get, you know, if they're like, oh, what's my charitable donations this month?
Right?
You know, like if Christians had the power to raise it within the course of a week, $300,000, who even knows if, you know, that's even needed for this kid? You know what I mean? Like financially, like certainly there are way better things you can donate towards that are going to actually make an impact in people's lives. It's like just the fact that it's like, you know, you hear all the time about these, you know, issues that are happening at like food pantries and different communities that have been hit particularly hard economically by the pandemic. It's like, why can't we just, if people have that kind of money just to give, why can't they just give it to something that's actually going to help people? You know, and not inflame crazy ideology.
Well, and I mean, you know, and I think too, back to the Republican National Convention where they had that couple that came out with guns in front of their house, you know, pointing guns at peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters. Like, why are we elevating people who are bringing a level of violence to this? Like, why would that be heroic? That's really concerning to me. Like, that is making me lose faith in humanity.
Yeah.
Well, Debbie Downer,
Yeah, you're welcome.
No, but I it's good that we're talking about it. It's good that,
absolutely,
you know, like it's almost like you're waking up in like a different reality sometimes. It's like, wait, this is actually happening right now. You know,
it does feel that way.
You know, we're talking about armed, you know, wannabe vigilantes in the streets, taking lives and inflaming, you know, tensions in communities they don't even live in. And that's what Christians are giving money towards. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, sheesh. Let's step up and give a ton of money to causes we feel should be representative of faith.
It's like this, Bannon and those guys that raise millions of dollars because people wanted to fund a wall. Obviously, they were being scammed. That's what the charges that those guys are facing now say. But it's like, who's giving money for this stuff? Like, who honestly is like, oh, I'm just going to break out the credit card and give $300 for people to build a wall? It's like, what is happening are
doing
right
it.
Now?
It's the racists. They're doing it.
It's the
racists are doing it. Yes.
That's the answer.
Yeah.
That is the answer.
Active participatory racism.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for Slices. It's the summer of the bus ride, but you like my long hair. Red flags turn to pixie dust. It don't matter because I don't care. Because I'm falling, falling, falling for you. And I think that you're falling, falling for me. You're listening to Lovely the Band. The song is Buzz Cut, which is what I should probably get because my hair is really floppy because of the pandemic. Well, Grammy-nominated Hillsong Young and Free just released their fourth career album, All of My Best Friends. Since forming in 2013, Young and Free's music has amassed, get this, more than 1.2 billion streams, and they've sold over 700,000 units. That's nuts. Their goal for this new album is to release an infection of joy, they said, and that's what we talked to them about. Here's our conversation with Hillsong Young and Free.
We just didn't know if it was the right time to release. So we just felt like we wanted to wait till the appropriate time to release it. And so we waited on it. And then, you know, obviously the racial tensions and all the things of 2020 kept on culminating. And then we just got to the stage just recently where we're like, okay, we really feel like this is the right time. The album is filled with so much joy. There's such a sense of just praise, and it's very up tempo. And when we recorded it, it felt like a huge party. And so it was really important to us to put it out into the world when it felt right. And we feel like now is a beautiful time to kind of, I guess, bring an injection of joy into the world. Yeah, so it's been quite a lengthy process for us. It's taken a long time to get to this point. And yet we have no regrets. We feel like God has orchestrated this all together perfectly. You know what I love about what I love is that, you know, we could have never imagined the turn of events that would follow when we recorded and released this album. But the beauty of like digging deep into the presence of God and hearing from heaven is that you write prophetically and you write into the times. And I really believe that God, he just dropped these songs from heaven into our hearts, and to see how timely they are is just amazing. It's such a, yeah, it just reminds us of God's faithfulness. First single, Best Friend, the line is, I don't want to be on my phone, but I can't be alone. And I think just kind of challenging the status quo, kind of speaking directly into these things that are consuming our culture, that consume so much of who we are as humanity in 2020 is just, you know, it's very direct, but I think it's very intentional. And at the end of the day, we're capturing people's attention ultimately just to turn their eyes towards Jesus, who is the answer. And so in that sense, I think, you know, we want to reach young people. We want to capture their attention. And so speaking directly into those things, I wouldn't say that it's necessarily like important to us as much as it's the natural outflowing of what took place when we began to write with young people in mind. Jesus, there's a song on the album that I love called New Thing. And the chorus, you know, the chorus says, you're not done with me, you're doing a new thing. And I just keep on holding on to that. You know, obviously that's a reference from Isaiah 48, where it says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Will you not perceive it? Roads in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And I just think that if like God is doing a new thing in our midst, he's also making a way. And I think that's what I'm holding on to, that God's making a way, and that the hopes and the dreams that we have, even for young and free, he's got a plan, he's got a purpose. And so we're just looking for those early signs of his plans and purposes. Will it look like touring the album? We're not sure at this stage, you know, but we're just waiting, and we're responding, and we're, you know, innovating and trying to think of, you know, ways that we can keep connecting with people. And yeah, we're just open to whatever the future looks like. You're indescribable in every way. You search me out and now I'm caught up in your grace. I just can't fathom it. I can't make sense of how your love, so undeserved, it never ends. It gives me freedom, it leaves me breathless. My glimpse of heaven.
That was Young and Free. Make sure to check out their new album, All of My Best Friends, wherever you get your music. You're listening to Circa Waves featuring Alfie Templeman. Song is Lemonade. Okay, it's time for your feedback. Last week, for the question of the week, we asked you, Jesse played a super awkward clip from the Republican National Convention where the guy the delegate got all flustered when the camera was on him, and he said he nominates Donald J. President and Donald John President, and it got us thinking about funny, awkward clips. And so we asked you for the question of the week to send us your favorite awkward or funny audio clips on the internet. You guys did not disappoint. You hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast. Here are some of our favorites. Okay, so normally we would all take turns reading or whatever. What I'm just going to do is I'm just going to, Clark, our producer, has selected kind of maybe the three best ones of all the ones you sent in. So we'll just toss to them. So here's one from Stroop Ben on Twitter. It's called Worst Church Singer Ever.
This is one that also my friends at my hometown church, Gospel Light Baptist Church in Salisbury, North Carolina, has really made their top choice. So therefore, we're going to finish off with this one. It's called Looking for a City. Looking for a city built above. Looking for a city where we'll never die.
Good gracious.
No key left behind.
See, I always put myself in the position of like an American Idol judge. I feel like we've all been taught. And sometimes I want to look at Simon and be like, Simon, Cal, you are a big jerk. I would tell this guy, like, keep getting after it, man. Like, do your own thing. Like, you know, there is like genres of like weird indie rock where you just make kind of cool noises. Doesn't matter if it's on key. Doesn't matter if it's rhythm. Doesn't matter if you jumped right in. Just kind of this noise rock thing. Just go get it, man. You do you. Good for that kid. Good for that kid, Clark. I disagree with the listener. Good for him. He's doing him.
That's tough. There's a lot of bad church singing videos on the internet. That one's right up there. That's
my
right
favorite
up.
Though is him blaming the pianist at the beginning. Yeah. Like, oh, I didn't know you were gonna. I mean, otherwise I'd be singing fine.
You're not gonna count it off. You're not gonna count it off now.
Yeah.
A one, two, three. Again, a one, two, three. Yeah.
All right. So here's one that Berto Santiago sent in. It's called Pastor Punches Kid in the Chest.
Mm. Okay.
He was a nice kid, but he was one of those kids that was always just, he's a real smart aleck. Was a bright kid, which didn't help things, right? Made him more dangerous. And we were outside one day, youth group, and he was just trying to push my buttons, and he was just, you know, kind of not taking the Lord serious. And I walked over to him, and I went, bam! I punched him in the chest as hard as I crumpled the kid. I just crumpled him. And I leaned over and I said, Ben, when are you going to stop playing games with God?
He just confessed to an assault right there.
Yeah. It's like laughing because it's like actual spiritual abuse.
Yeah. And it's like, is that a threat right now? Because you literally just punched me in the chest. So,
bro, if I was that kid, bro, I'm getting paid, buddy. I'm I'm suing that pastor. Hey, buddy, they gonna name the church Derek Minor of First Baptist Church after this is over with.
Pastor, you just crumpled me, man. What's up with that?
Yeah,
run it.
I hear a lot of jaded, you know, 20, 30 somethings grew up in the church. They got like church wounds, you know, like emotional scars from spiritual manipulation and stuff like that. That's another level.
That's crazy. I mean,
that sort of spiritual manipulation that pastor would go and assault a kid who's just trying to figure out life, man. What? Oh, that makes me so mad. That grieves me. Ugh. All right, here's another one.
If I were that kid, I would have jump kicked him. And that way, I am above the wall, quite literally at that point. Literally.
And then we would jet packed away.
Exactly. Yeah. What now, pastor? Take this seriously.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, what would you do if you were the parents of that kid, though? And he came home with a bruise and told you, cracked sternum.
I'm getting paid. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm getting paid. I'm like, oh, you guys want to give me several million dollars. Thanks.
And, you know, I would go full Karen on that situation. I would use my Karen powers for good.
You got
honestly,
to.
It makes me want to go to a rich church and like pick a fight with a pastor and see if he'll strike me.
Punch me in my chest. It's here for you.
But you're pretty bad about that stuff I said about God, Pastor, huh? Why don't you just punch me? Punch me right in the chest. Really crumple me right here. I need some witnesses. Come on, everyone.
All right, here's the last one we're going to play. Tanner Battles sent this one in. It's called Boneless Chicken Wings.
My name is Andrew Christensen. I live at 1212 Twin Ridge Road. Lincoln has the opportunity to be a social leader in this country. We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning and treating things as though they're normal. I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city
remove the- So he's at a city council meeting.
Excuse me. Sure. Come on. I propose that we as a city remove the name boneless wings from our menus and from our hearts. These are our reasons why. Number one, nothing about boneless chicken wings actually come from the wing of a chicken. We would be disgusted if a butcher was mislabeling their cuts of meats, but then we go around and pretending as though the breast of the chicken is its wing. Number two, boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected. And then number three, we need to raise our children better. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. We need to teach them.
Okay, the reason why this is funny is because it's not that far from reality. Like a while ago, I was reading, some news site where like lobbyists from the dairy industry made lawmakers pass a law that in order for a product to be technically called milk, because I guess they were mad at soy milk almond milk or whatever. That literally, this is how powerful actual lobbyists are in this country, because they were proposing to pass a law, which might have passed, that in order to legally be called milk, it had to have come from a hooved animal. And it's like, I've never thought about milk this much, but like, why does that need to be a law? This clip is so funny because it's like, this is actually what most of governance is, in my opinion. It's just like passing laws just to pat the backs of big dairy and, you know, boneless chicken.
I think this guy just tried to go viral and he did this.
I think so too. He's poking them, right?
Of course he is.
I think he is too, but I also think like it's so close to reality. You know what I mean? That's why it works, you know?
Yeah, it seemed like they were trying to remove him. So he's like, no, give me my time.
I'm a taxpaying citizen.
That's what's the best part about it.
Hypothetically, like, no, hold on, man. Hypothetically, I pay my taxes and I deserve to be here.
Yeah. Well, we have some guys locally that do this. They go to city council meetings and they just say absurd things. They're on YouTube. It's called Chad Goes Deep. And it's hysterical. Show up because they have to give them 3 minutes in the meetings. Yeah. They show up to school board meetings, city council meetings, and argue for they want to rename the cultural center after Tom Cruise. I mean, just like the most absurd stuff. And the people just have to sit there and listen to it. It's amazing.
Great. Leslie Knope's town hall meetings on Parks and Rec were pretty accurate. People show up and request crazy things. All right. There's a lot more where that came from. If you want to check out, go click on all the links and the replies on the Relevant Podcast Twitter account. It's pretty funny. Okay. It's time for this week's. Okay, so we just heard the inspiration for this week's question of the week. The guy goes to the city council meeting advocating for a law, citywide law, to outlaw the term boneless chicken wings because they're just chicken tenders. We want to know, what is the weirdest law you think should actually be on the books? Hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast, or you can message us on the Relevant Magazine Instagram account. We'll read our favorites on next week's show.
I'll throw out one.
Okay.
Cargo shorts. Illegal. They're depressing to see. Every time I see someone in cargo shorts, I just get bummed out for some reason.
The pockets. They're very useful.
For?
Early Derek Minor was wearing some cargo shorts and ripped them in the middle of a performance.
That was fortuitous.
Chinos. No, chinos.
What's the difference?
Chinos.
Pockets. Pants.
Yeah.
Oh, pants.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Don't
you said chinos, I was saying... I was thinking you were talking about tan cargo shorts.
No, no, no. Don't put no cargo shorts on me, big dog. You know what I'm saying? I got more sauce than that, dog. I got more sauce than that.
I thought you were talking like 2006.
No, bro. Okay. Even 2006, we weren't wearing all the pockets.
Too many pockets.
Too many pockets.
All right. So, Jesse, you're saying outlaw all cargo shorts.
It's just time. It's just time. Their time has come. It's the right move. Let's move on, America.
So, for more suggestions of laws of that ilk, not laws like, you know, ban racism and things like, you know, 17-year-olds carrying ARs and being vigilantes. We're not talking about that. We're talking about like banning cargo shorts, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Those types of laws.
No one needs that many pockets. No one needs that many pockets. Get a bag at that point, a fanny pack, get something to carry things. If you got that, if you need that many pockets, you know, that's all I'm saying.
All right. Hit us up. Okay. Thanks to Hillsong Young and Free for joining us. Make sure to check out their new album, All of My Best Friends. It's out now. Also, head over to relevantmagazine.com and check out the new issue. It is there. We have Maverick City Music on the cover. We also have other great content, which we told you about earlier. Don't miss it. The new era of Relevant is here. Go check it out at relevantmagazine.com. And thanks to you, Kristen Howerton, for sitting in. Make sure to check out more about her counseling book and podcast at kristenhowerton.com. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Derek Miner.
I'm Kristen Howerton.
We will see you on Friday. Have a good week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, check out our Relevant Podcast Network, featuring shows like Relevant Daily, Signs of Life, Unedited, and many more launching throughout the year.
Take this seriously. Kaya!
Relevant Podcast Network.